Thank you for joining us for this Prima podcast. My name is Taekwon Gilbert. I am the education coordinator at Prima and the moderator for today's podcast. October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. National Cybersecurity Awareness Month was designed to increase awareness regarding the significance of cybersecurity, as well as provide the necessary resources to ensure people are safe and secure online. To commemorate the 20th anniversary of National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, Prima created a National Cybersecurity Awareness Month podcast series. Each week during the month of October, Prima will feature podcasts that share important information about cybersecurity. On this podcast, Jason McMahon, Risk Management Director for Midwest Public Risk, will explain what phishing schemes are and how to successfully recognize and mitigate them. Thank you for joining us today, Jason.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So, what makes phishing successful?
Well, you know, what we see, especially in the public entity space, I think is so much is available online. And a lot of that is legislated, right? You got to put your bids out. When you hire people, you put that out. You know, the transparency of public entities is at all-time high. And so you're putting that information out there for the general public. But along with the general public is the bad actors. And those bad actors then, you know, they gather that information, they put it in files, they silo it, you know, they've got all this information about you, and they just, you know, wait for the right opportunity and the right people to try to jump on that. And then when they do it, they basically use social engineering, you know, which is what, you know, advertising agencies have used for 100 years to try to get people to buy products and to do things. And a lot of times you'll see them do that through a reward or through fear to try to get people, you know, at their computers to respond to whatever they're doing. And, you know, when we're out with working with people, what we find is people are busy, right? I mean, we're more busy than we've ever been, even though everything is more efficient than it ever has been. But everything is at our fingertips. And a lot of times I think we find is there's a lack of education and a lack of training on the end users. And, you know, a lot of these, you know, phishing schemes are designed specifically to make it through any hardware or software that you have in place. I mean, they're simple, just emails to try to get somebody to go somewhere or to do something or to give information or whatever it is. But there's nothing in there that's malicious other than the intent of the sender. So if you're not educating your employees that these things are taking place and how they're taking place, and then you're not following that up with training, you know, to try to make sure that what you're teaching people is soaking in, and so that they're being mindful, you know, and they're looking for those things, then, you know, they can fall victim to these schemes, you know, pretty easily. And it doesn't take long for, you know, something really bad to happen, a lot of money to go out the door, passwords to be given out and things like that. So, you know, it's just that, you know, they want to do the right thing. They don't want to ask questions from other people. And I think a lot of that, again, goes back to, you know, that lack of education of the risk and a lack of training to verify that education is taking hold.
What are the most successful phishing schemes you're seeing?
Well, you know, they kind of run a gamut, but some of the ones that we've seen of late, some of them are kind of smaller. Again, I was working with a city and they had a new city clerk. She'd been on the job about a week, and she gets an email from the mayor, you know, and if you could see me, you'd see the quotes I'm putting up in the air. So the mayor sent her an email and said, "Hey, we're glad you're here. So glad you're part of the team." Again, all this information is available. You know, if you know where to look for it, it's really not that hard. Sends her an email, says, "You know, we've got this health and wellness campaign we've been doing. We're getting ready to award, you know, the gift cards to people. What I need you to do is go buy, you know, 8 $100 Google Play cards so that we can give those out to the people. And, you know, just, you know, let me know when you get those. Email me back." And so she went to the store, she got them, she emailed them back. And he's like, "Okay, just scratch the numbers off and give me those numbers, and I'll send the emails out to the people that won them." And while she was scratching those off, she gets a phone call. Happens to be the real mayor calling to see what's going on in the office that day. And she is so happy to tell him, "You know, I did what you asked. I went out and I bought these Google Play cards." And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And it's just, holy cow, you know, she just wanted to please him. It was her superior. You know, I've told that story to other people. And one time I was in another city and the city manager stopped dead in his tracks. He said, you know, six of my employees got that email for me and three of them went and bought the cards. So sometimes I think it's because it's such a small thing. People think, well, this, you know, nobody's going to waste their time, you know, doing this just to get a couple $100. But there's a lot of those out there and they're doing that. Other things that we see are, we've probably seen six or seven of these, and I'm in Kansas City and the Kansas City area over the last 5 years, is, you know, large municipal projects like road projects, other things like that, where the contractor, which again, those bids are open to the public, you know, they know the city, they know the project number, they know the contractor, they know all of that information, and will send an email to, you know, accounts payable for the city and say, hey, you know, our bank has been compromised. We've got a new account number for this project. You know, here's an account. And what we'd really like you to do is at our next, you know, pay order, you know, send that money to our new bank account. And sure enough, you know, without, you know, doing anything, any background check or following up, you know, they send that money out to a new bank, you know, that's not actually the contractor. We're seeing a lot of that. I know we see a lot of payroll emails. Even at our company, you know, the person that does payroll, you know, almost every month will, you know, send a message out on Teams. Hey, I just got, you know, a payroll request from such and such employee that you know, you've got a new bank. And luckily, you know, there's 15 of us here. It's a pretty small organization. It's pretty easy for us to sniff that out. But, you know, if that goes to the wrong payroll clerk that, you know, doesn't know to check, you know, make sure that that's accurate, sure enough, they could send somebody's, you know, paycheck to a new bank, you know, and that's something that we hear a lot of the municipal governments are getting as well as we are. I'm actually headed to my third conference that I'm signed up for this particular year. I didn't make Prima this summer, sorry, but I'm looking at next year. But three different conferences that I've signed up for, I have received an email that is bogus, basically trying to sell me the attendee list for that conference. I got two of those yesterday because I'm speaking at the Missouri Municipal League conference in a couple weeks. And, you know, I've sent those to the people that have set up the conferences and they're like, yeah, that's not us. So, I mean, that information is out there. They know who's attending these types of conferences and they're just trying to make a buck off of people, you know, that are attending them. So, I mean, those are just a few of the examples that we see pretty much on a weekly basis anymore.
Can you be specific about what makes those specific phishing schemes so successful?
Certainly. I keep talking about it, that all of this information is sort of available, you know, it's public information, but like the construction projects, for instance, I mean, in my background, I'm a former public works director and, you know, those contracts are a little unique. A lot of times you'll have multiple pay accounts. So they'll turn in one, you know, pay app for payroll. They'll send one pay app for the materials that have been delivered to the site. So it's very specific. And, you know, these bad actors understand that. They understand how these contracts work. So when they're sending that, you know, information and they're, you know, I'm XYZ contractor and, you know, here is the account that we want the payroll to go to now. Here is the account we want the materials pay apps to go to. You know, it seems like they know what they're talking about. And so, you know, I think it just gives a level of trust, you know, to the people in payroll or, you know, accounts payable that are doing this because, well, you know, how would somebody know that? But the reality is it's not that out of the norm that they would know that. We actually had one of our members a few years ago, again, you know, everything is available online, it would seem, is, you know, he had a commissioner that was vacationing in Florida. And I think he'd put that information out maybe on Facebook or Instagram or, you know, a social media. Bad guys are watching this. And on a Friday mid-afternoon, you know, before wire transfers get shut off for the day, one of the employees gets an email from the commissioner, says, hey, I'm on my vacation down in Florida. Forgot to tell you that we hired a new consultant last night, and to get them to start working, we need you to wire $48,462. Here's the account number. We need to do that ASAP so that they can get work and they're going to start this weekend. And because it was late in the day, you know, the employee knew that to get that money out, you know, they had to act immediately. And so he did. And then sure enough, later that afternoon, commissioner called from Florida. Hey, just checking in, seeing if there's anything going on in the office. And the happy employee said, well, hey, you know, I sent that money out for you, you know, just like you asked. Like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. And it's just the same thing. It's they have so much knowledge about entities, and they're building, you know, they build these files based on information that's out to the public, basically. They'll have the emails down to how people, you know, sign if they use their initials on emails. I mean, they'll make them look very, very legit.
Now, how do you combat phishing schemes?
Well, education is first, I think. Everything kind of starts with education. People need to know about these. You know, some of the examples that I've given, you know, obviously it doesn't take much to get out there and read, you know, about these online, but to educate, you know, your staffs in the public, you know, whoever, your partners, your banking partners about the real aspect of this. And then once they're, you know, educated is training. And we like to say, you know, training without punishment. You know, we don't want people afraid to do their job because they might fail some sort of a training, but there are lots of different phishing tools out there, you know, that are email based that come in and give you an opportunity to have open and honest communication with your staffs. And so if people are failing them, hopefully they get better, and they get better at you know, spotting things that look off, and then, you know, helping to educate them on what not to do, even if you think it's real. I guess it's a difficult one to say, but, you know, having policies for your purchasing, for projects, you know, if you've got a policy that says you're not going to change your bank accounts based on an email, you know, you have to follow that with a phone call, and not the phone call that's on, you know, the phone number that's on an email. You get an email from a bad actor pretending to be a construction company, they're going to give you a phone number that they're going to answer. So when you call and say, hey, you know, on the Poly accounts payable clerk, is this such and such? And they're going to go, yes, it is, and verify that. So you need to go back to your contracts, see what contact information you have for, you know, those, you know, contractors, and call those numbers and say, hey, you know, we just got this email from you. We want to verify, you know, that this is a change. If it's a payroll thing, same thing. You want to contact the employee physically, verify that they did send it, verify that they want to make that change. Hopefully on larger dollars with your bank, you've got, you know, two-part authorization. And we had this happen once to us years ago. It actually got all the way to our bank. Banker called and said, you know, I need your passcode and your password. And we said, wait a minute, you know, that's not us. We are not doing this. And then so stopped it. So, you know, education, training, making sure that you have the policies and your people understand those. And then, you know, I do a lot of training in this sort of thing. And what I always say is let's go back to the old fashioned way. You know, pick up the phone and call the person that you're working with and just verify the information, because it's a whole lot easier to do that, you know, on the front end than to have to explain to your, you know, your cyber insurance carrier why you didn't do something. And they're getting a lot more, you know, stringent on their requirements on what they'll pay out when you just send money to somebody without following up. So that, you know, that is something that people need to understand from their policy as well, because it could cost them, you know, multiple ways, not just the money going out, but then if they're lacking on coverage because they didn't do these things, it could be a double whammy.
What should you do if you think you may have responded to a phishing email?
Well, it kind of depends on what you mean, you know, what responded means. And there's a couple different types of, you know, you can go down a big rabbit hole with phishing. I mean, it could be simply an email that they're trying to get a response, could be an email that has, you know, a malicious link in it, could be an email that takes you to another spot where they get credentials. So it kind of depends on, you know, what you did. But if you just respond to an email and you don't think anything happened, I would let somebody know, you know, your supervisor, maybe IT, and you just say, hey, you know, this came in, I'm not sure, what do you think? You know, get somebody else's feedback on it. If you click something, you know, you got an email, a phishing email, and they're like, hey, we need you to click this to download this document. You know, we got a claim file for you. We want you to look at it. And you click on it and your computer acts funny, you know, let IT know immediately. If, you know, you log in and it asks for credentials or, you know, something about it seems off, again, I'd let everybody know. We had a situation actually in our office, a provider that we use to do background checks sent an email to, you know, the employee that would handle that sort of thing for us. And she, you know, answered it on her phone, which is, I don't ever want to say that you shouldn't work on your phone because we all do, but sometimes it's a little harder to see things that are misleading on a phone versus, you know, your Outlook or your regular, you know, email browser. So she, you know, logged in and said, hey, we've got a, you know, a document for you to approve. And she clicked on it and it pulled up her Office 365 login, which I don't know is necessarily that off. It seems like sometimes you have to do that. Like you get logged out or your phone updates and it needs you to re-log into your Office 365. So she really didn't think anything of it. She put her credentials in to go to Office 365, but then it landed her on our webpage. And at that point, I happened to be sitting at the table with her and she goes, well, that's odd. And I said, talk to me. Tell me what happened. So she explained. I said, all right, go get the IT guy. We need to change your password immediately. And so she found him, changed her password for Office 365 immediately. And, you know, we went and looked at that email on her computer. When she looked at it on her computer, she's like, you know, I would have never clicked on this had it been on my computer. And if I had looked at it here, it just, it doesn't look right on my computer, on my phone, it looked fine. So, you know, IT guys monitoring, nothing happened. Of course, we changed her password. And then about 10 o'clock that night, someone tried to use her previous credentials to get into her Office 365 account until it locked her out, like five times and it locked her out. And so, you know, what we know happened there is they sent this, you know, phishing email that had a link that basically took her to Office 365. And it was a bogus Office 365 page that she put her credentials in, which allowed them to grab her credentials. And they were going to wait till later that night and then log in and do whatever they thought that they could do in our Office 365 account. And so you never know at that point what's going to happen. So, you know, luckily, she's like, as soon as she realized it, you know, she went to somebody that has a little bit of understanding, and then we went to IT, and then we stopped it. So, you know, anytime you think something's off, you know, communication is kind of the key with people that you work with your IT, with your supervisors, is if you think something is off, let somebody know. You know, the other thing that we always see is you get the, you know, the, there's a yellow line or a red line or what have you in your signature line that, you know, says this email is from outside of our system. You know, that's the new thing that combats this. So people know that this isn't an internal email. But when we started this conversation, I told you about a city that I work with, the three people bought Google Play cards for their boss. Every one of those emails had that line. So, you know, the more you see that in your signature line or somebody's signature line, the more desensitized you get to it. So I always tell IT staff when I'm out there is change the color, change the wording, you know, somehow try to change that up so that people are more mindful to look for it. If it catches their attention, then they're going to know that, you know, this is different because we get lazy, you know, as time goes on and we see the same thing over and over and over again and we stop paying attention to it. So that's probably the biggest thing. And then, you know, like I said, everything goes back to education, making sure that everybody knows what this is and training so that they can try to recognize it and stop it. And if something does happen, something feels off, something looks off, let somebody know, because you certainly have professionals in every organization that can help mitigate these things before they get really, really bad.
Thank you for tuning in to Prima's National Cybersecurity Awareness Month podcast series. Should you have any questions regarding the podcast or any podcast in this series, please email education@primacentral.org. To learn more about Prima's educational resources, please visit primacentral.org. Thanks again.